Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful day that He has blessed us with to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we gather here this beautiful Sunday, can you believe it is June? I mean, it is hard to believe that it is June. We woke up this morning and I was thinking about it. It's hard to believe that most of our kids will be out of school in just a week and a half. Summer is officially here. Vacation season has begun. It is that time of year, but it is good to gather in the Lord's house this morning. As we gather here, we want to welcome any guests that are with us. Thank you for joining us for worship this day. If it is your first time joining us, we ask that you fill out a visitor's card that is in the pew in front of you and place that in the offering plate as is passed later on in the time of worship this morning. As we also gather here, I hope you had an opportunity. You received in the email this week our newsletter that shares things coming up in the month of June. If you did not receive one of those, also they were mailed out, and there's some in the foyer as you leave this morning. You can pick those up and see what's coming up. Many activities coming up in the coming weeks here at First Baptist Church of Elon. One of those events you'll hear more detail about coming up this afternoon at our RA Pinewood Derby. Alec French will be coming up and sharing details about that event, but I do want to remind you that after that event tonight, that our men's Bible study that has been taking place this spring will be wrapping up. So men, don't forget that after the Pinewood Derby and the cookout, the men's Bible study will be meeting. Next Sunday night, the ladies' Bible study will be wrapping up their Bible study. So just a little reminder there. Men Bible study meets tonight. Ladies' Bible study will meet tomorrow, next Sunday night. Just coming from the pastor search team as well, please fill out the pastor search surveys. Many of you received those over the last couple weeks and have been prayerfully filling those out and praying over those. Those surveys are due back by next Sunday in the basket in the foyer. We've been receiving many of those back, and we want to thank you for those. Our pastor search team has been meeting on almost a weekly basis and discussing and planning and preparing. They will be bringing a report sometime later this month, but they do want you to know that they have been meeting and they have been discussing, and they look forward to reading your surveys and looking through the thoughts that you have based on what you filled out and what you prayerfully shared with those. So please prayerfully return those by next Sunday to help our pastor search team out. Keep that team in your prayers as they continue to serve and honor God through their service on that ministry team. One thing also that I spoke about last week, we canceled and postponed our Fun and Fellowship trip this past week to Mount Airy. We have rescheduled that for this Thursday. So senior adults or anybody that wants to go, we are going to Mount Airy this Thursday. We'll be meeting here at the church at 8:30, traveling up to Mount Airy, and then we'll be coming back at 4 o'clock. If you're interested in going on that trip, you can sign up in the Communication Center or up in one of the Sunday School classrooms today. But so that trip has been rescheduled for this coming Thursday. Many other things going on in the life of our church. Check out the newsletter. Check the bulletin out. Many other things going on. As we gather here this morning, we are gathering in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Spirit is moving. May we turn in our scripture this morning to see what He has to tell us this day. Psalm 25, verses 4 through 5 say this: "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." That is why we have gathered here, to be guided by the Spirit. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we have gathered here to worship and celebrate you. Father, we have probably gathered here in the pew this morning with expectation. We have gathered here expecting you to move and speak to us. And Father, maybe we've gathered here for the wrong reason. Because you're going to move in a way that we aren't even expecting. You are going to speak to us in a way that we weren't expecting to hear. We weren't expecting to see. But Father, we anticipate. We can't wait to see what you're going to be speaking to us through song or through your word or through prayer or through the message. Father, we anticipate it. We can't wait to hear what you're going to say. That is why we gather here. We lift this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, In Christ Alone.
May be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Once again, I want to invite everyone to come out to the Royal Ambassador Grand Prix and Formula 6 Pinewood Car Race. Weigh-in for competitors is at 4 o'clock, and races begin around 4:30. Now, why should you come? First of all, it's free. A ticket for the Indianapolis 500 at least is probably going to cost you $200, all right? This is free. Another reason, you know the drivers. They might even give you autographs. Another reason, it's air conditioned. Hey. Charlotte Motor Speedway is hot. Our speedway is air conditioned. Another reason, there's going to be a cookout afterwards. It's free, right?
Amen.
There again, free food. Speedway burger might cost you $5. You get these free. And I think the best reason, the fellowship will be great.
Amen.
So please come out, enjoy the fellowship, be a part of this event, cheer your favorite drivers on, and have fun. Thank you.
Can't you ask for anything better free, can you?
Nope.
There you go. Our offertory hymn this morning is, O God, our help in ages past. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for all of our many blessings. Thank you also for this loving and generous church family. Use this offering for the building of your work in this church and our community and beyond. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
may be seated.
Our second scripture reading today comes from Paul's letter to the church to the Romans, chapter 5, reading verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace into which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Before we pray, I want to say a word of thanks, and it's nice to be home. Bear with me. I never know what's coming out of my mouth. Well, you know that from years ago. I told John out there, one of three Johns, I said, you know, I'm almost as nervous as the Sunday I came for my trial sermon back in 1986. Anyway, let's pray. Father, how strange it is that you should call us to be your church, and yet you have always worked through women and men in the working out of your purpose, through prophets and disciples, leaders and followers, preachers and listeners. You have called your people so that your redeeming love might work through them. And above all, in Jesus, your word has become flesh and lived out your will. He has died for us, and you have raised him for us. And you did that so that we might be his followers, and he might be our foundation and our head. And so fill us with his love, that we might truly be his disciples. Lord God, we dedicate ourselves now to being your people. Grant us your grace that we might be faithful to our calling as your church. Deepen our faith. Strengthen our love. Increase our hope that we might be an offering acceptable to you and available for the carrying out of your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's see. I guess I got to sit down. I'm having to learn all new stuff here.
You can go ahead.
How y'all saying? I did that one Sunday in Durham. My first Sunday there.
Shackled by a heavy burden. touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me.
Luke 2 shares an event that occurred when Jesus, as a young baby, was brought in for his consecration to the Lord. Beginning with verse 25, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory for your people Israel.' The child's father and mother marveled about what had been said of him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.' There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word this morning. A few weeks ago, I was asked to meet with the pulpit committee as they were planning. And I got home, and of course, my wife says, "Well, what happened?" And I said, "Can't tell you." So anyway, that night, she had a dream. Better watch out. It was snowing, but it was Sunday, and we were at church. And she said she walked in upstairs, and there in the fellowship hall was about 50 children looking for somebody to teach them. And so she ran around, and she found somebody to teach them. And then she said a little while later, she came downstairs, and Gay already had a group of 25 or 30 kids in her choir room teaching them. Pretty cool, huh? And then she walked into the sanctuary, and the choir loft had 50 people sitting here waiting to sing. There was one problem, though. The preacher who was scheduled to preach that day didn't show up because it was snowing. And so she grabbed me down the hall while I was talking to somebody, as usual. And she said to me, she said, "You need to preach this morning. You have to preach. The preacher didn't show up. And you need to preach that old sermon on hope." And here it is. You know, some people believe that happiness is the most important thing in life. You know the old song, "Don't worry, be happy"? Sure you do. Others believe that health is the most important. If you have your health, you have everything. I believe hope is at the top of the list. We can't always be healthy, and none of us, not even me, is happy all the time. But we can hold on to hope. As Christians, we always have hope because Jesus is the hope of the world. 2,000 years ago, a man and a woman held on to hope through difficult and trying times. Simeon was a righteous and devout man. He lived by faith, but it wasn't easy to live by faith when his country was overwhelmed with the Roman army. It wasn't easy to believe in a coming Messiah when all the rest of the Jews there couldn't believe it, couldn't understand it, didn't understand it, wouldn't get along about it. There was differences, but he held on to his hope. Now, Anna was either old or very old. The scripture's kind of ambiguous in the way it's written here. She was at least 84, or she may have been a widow for 84 years, which would have meant she would have been at least 100. Doesn't matter, she was old. Either way, her husband had died, and she had spent the majority of her life alone. It's never easy to be old. It's never easy to be alone. But it was especially hard in a primitive and poor place like first century Israel. But Anna held on to hope. The story of Simeon and Anna is part of the Christmas story, although it is seldom read, seldom preached. So why am I telling that story today? Because we all need hope in our life. And in this time of transition, our church needs to hold on to hope. We're not dead. We need hope. And these two people have all the ingredients of hope. And so when you think about your own life, and when you think about the collective life of this church, First Baptist Church of Elon, let's see what those ingredients of hope look like. Hope anticipates future good. Hope is always about tomorrow, not yesterday. Hope is about tomorrow. Hope is the ability to see a path to the future. Simeon saw pain in his nation. He grieved at the afflictions of his people. He yearned for the consolation to soothe the distresses of his nation. And there was no apparent way to escape the Roman cruelty. That Roman army, many had tried and all had failed. It seemed like an endless trap. But Simeon saw a path to tomorrow through a Messiah from God. His dream was to live long enough to see the Messiah come to Israel. And he held on to hope, and he survived in that hope. Now, as I said, Anna was older. She was a widow more than 10 times longer than she was a wife. She had no prospects for marriage. She had no hope for future children. She was an old woman. An old woman. Her fate was set. She was a prime candidate for hopelessness. But she was full of hope, Scripture says. Hope with action. Because daily she worshiped and she prayed and she fasted and she was convinced that God would send a Savior. And when she saw that child, she knew he was the hope of the future. You know, if life is easy and all of our dreams come true, we don't need any hope, do we? Do you know anybody like that? Have all your dreams come true? Most of us struggle with pains, problems, uncertainties from day to day. We wonder how to survive today and thrive tomorrow. We need to find some path out of this mess in which we find ourselves. We need a way beyond hopelessness. We need a hope that anticipates a good to come. Hope, hope always anticipates a future good for individuals and for churches like us. Hold on to hope. Hold on to hope because hope comes from God. Hope without God is only wishful thinking. It's kind of delusional thinking at times. You know, just because we think snow or we wish peace or we want money doesn't mean any of that's going to come true. Christian hope is entirely different. Christian hope comes from God Himself and not from fantasy. Simeon's hope came from the Holy Spirit. Anna's hope came from the prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures. True hope isn't our imaginary brick road. True hope is based on the person and the power and the promises of God Himself. Hope comes from God. So hold on to hope. And hope surprises, as David said. We anticipate something from God. Well, at least Mary and Joseph were surprised, according to Luke. He said the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. You would think that after experiencing a virgin birth and an army of angels and everything else that they had been through, that Mary and Joseph would be surprise proof. But it wasn't true. They were amazed at the words of Simeon and the predictions of the things that were to come. That's the way hope in God and life in God works. You see, God points us on a path to tomorrow, but surprises us with twists and turns all along the way. I can tell you one thing. I certainly never expected to be standing here again. But that's the way God works sometimes. The autobiography of C.S. Lewis is called Surprised by Joy. And that's exactly what hope is all about. Surprises from God. Just when we think all is lost, God sneaks up on us and gives us victory. And just when we think we've got everything figured out, God takes us on exciting new directions and unexpected adventures. Hope surprises us. Hold on to hope. Hope takes time. Hope is seldom quick. God took a lifetime for the hopes of Simeon and Anna to come true. Sometimes the fulfillment of hope takes more than a lifetime. As Christians, remember, our hope is not in the calendar. Our hope is not in the clock. Our hope is in the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we are convinced that Jesus will come through no matter how long it takes in this world. Sometimes hope works a little slower than you and I would like. We're people who like everything fast, you know. Sometimes hope comes in chunks and pieces along the way. Simeon and Anna did not live long enough to see the baby Jesus grow into manhood. They didn't witness any of his supernatural miracles or hear any of his divine teachings. They weren't around when he was crucified, and they weren't around when he was gloriously raised from the dead. But they waited, and they longed, and they hoped, and God fulfilled that hope because they were able to at least read the first chapter of God's fulfillment of hope. In other words, God gave them more hope for the future. That's like a same thing for us, for you and me. Hope anticipates a future, a path from the difficulties of today to the delights of tomorrow. Christian hope always comes from God. It usually takes time, and it's full of unexpected surprises along the way. I think everybody wants hope. If you don't, you're crazy. I can tell you that right up. Who wouldn't want hope? The practical question is how to hope. How do we hope? How do we find a path from God to lead us on into the future, for tomorrow? How do we do that? Well, let's think about the downside of hope first. I know that's a negative way to do it. But let's identify some things that steal hope from us. And I say that because hope is a precious commodity that needs to be guarded. Colossians 1:23 says, "Continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel." You see, the danger is that you and I will be moved away from the hope in Jesus Christ. And we know the thieves of hope, don't we? You can name them as well as I can. Difficult situations that come up in our life. Disappointments, disease, poverty, death, other things. There are situations in life that leave us powerless and feeling hopeless. But it is the lie of Satan that everything in our lives is out of control and there is no way out. You see, God's still in control. What's been stealing your hope recently? greatest threat to our hope, the greatest thief of hope, is ourselves. Not that we choose to be hopeless, but we put our hope in the wrong place. We put our hope in the wrong possession or the wrong person. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. When we are rich, we are prone to assume that money is our path out of our mess. When we are in love, we trust our lover. When we are in positions of power, we're likely to hope in those we know and who we are and how we have influence on others. But as Christians, our hope is in God. Money, position, people are not dependable, but God is. We can always depend on God. To hold on to Christian hope, be on God against the robbers of hope and the substitutes for hope. So, rather than being negative, let's be proactive for a few minutes. Let's think of the positives of hope, claiming the promises of God. Do you know that the word hope appears 161 times in the English Bible? Read the promises of God about hope. They will give you encouragement. They will give you hope that grows your soul. Let me throw out a few examples. Isaiah 40:31, for instance, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and they will not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's a promise. Or one from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. What better promise is that? And then there's Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's 1 Peter 1:21. Through Jesus Christ, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. I was in Rome recently, second time, and neither time I've been there have I been able to make it to the catacombs. But the catacombs were real, and they run under the ancient city of Rome. And early Christians buried their dead there, and they wrote words and symbols in the caves where they buried their relatives. And you know that the most common symbols that they carved into the walls were the cross and the fish and the anchor. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. You see, in the midst of poverty and persecution and death, these early Christians held on to their hope in God's grace. Hope was and is the anchor of our faith. Claim the promises of God and hold on to hope. But be patient. Be patient. Simeon and Anna hoped for a lifetime before their hope came true. Hope is always about the future. Hope is always about what we have yet to experience. Hope is always in what God will do for us and in us and through us, hold on to hope. Don't give up easily. Don't surrender too soon. Don't think God has forgotten about First Baptist Elon. Hold on to hope and the conviction that God will do good no matter how long it takes. As Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 8, if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And then expect those surprises. Expect those surprises when God turns our hopes into reality. Remember, our hope is not in what's going to happen. Our hope is not in a new preacher. Our hope is in God. And God is better and smarter than anything we could dream, think, ask, or pray. Our hope is in God. Remember that hope is seeing a path to a better tomorrow. The promise of God is that He will always give us the strength and the wisdom that we need to face the situation we're in, and He will always provide a better path for tomorrow. And we may just be totally surprised where that path leads in the days ahead. And so, my dear friends, hold on to hope, for Christian hope comes from God and anticipates a future, a path from the difficulties of today to the delights of tomorrow. It may take some time. It's going to take some work and some prayer, but oh, what surprises God has in store for you and for me and for First Baptist Elon. Hold on to hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the hope we have in Christ Jesus our Lord, the anchor of our faith. And we pray that as Your people, we will find encouragement and strength in Your promises to live a life pleasing to You and committed to Your will. And Father, as we always pray, if there be one in our midst today who desires to become a disciple of Yours, to follow You, to give their life to You, may today be the day of salvation. We make our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. As we swing, we invite you to come this morning in commitment to Christ as Savior, following in believers' baptism. I encourage you to pray and to rededicate yourself now to living in hope and committed to the future of this church. And if you're not part of this church, I invite you to come. It's a great place to be. It's a wonderful place. You come as we sing. Yes, Dave and I both will be down front. Be crowded. Gay, you want to join us too?
Sure. Oh, you're good.